Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good morning to the world.
Good morning, and here we are.
Good morning, Dennis.
Yeah, good morning, Storm Dennis. And where are you?
Yeah.
Where are you? Show us what you got, mate.
Yeah, got nothing.
Because at 8 a.m. this morning, I was desperately looking for a way out.
You were basically texting excuses, like different ones. couldn't set up a...
Yeah, I'm just wondering whether the recorders will work with this weather? Question mark. ... Yeah, no, there's no way out of it. Yep. Sunday long run.
We're looking because we both felt like we haven't quite got the distance up, and we're looking to do... Basically, the plan today is to do 2 laps... of around 9 miles.
Of a niner, yeah. But I mean, it starts really with the cancellation of the Bramley 20.
Of course, that's what everyone knows. In fact, thanks to everyone for getting in touch and telling us about that. Of course, we aren't, not to be grumpy, but neither we or they are yet that useless, and we did know. But thank you for getting in touch.
Yeah, it's... it was a bit disappointing, wasn't it? I mean, obviously, they had their reasons and they couldn't do it, and it was parts of the cost of flooding, so... What disappointed me was the absence of a refund.
No refunds!
I mean, how I... Obviously, they're taking a leaf out of my playbook. The Bramley no refunds 20. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they were suggesting that all the money goes before the day.
Yeah. I think it would seem like they lose a lot less money that way.
Yes. Yeah. And any money left over will go to charity. I don't know, it felt a little bit abrupt.
Yeah, and
not to offer any refunds.
And they offered a deal for
next year. They offered 20% for next year.
It's 20%, it's not really...
It's not that much, is it?
Defer your place to next year, that might work.
Yeah, it's...
or even 50%.
Yeah, maybe 50, yeah. But anyway, it's a shame. It always had a sense of slight... Always had a sense of slight unreality about it, the Bramley 20.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether that's just because I'd... didn't want to do it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it felt a bit too quick
it's
in the training
thing,
cycle for a 20.
It was always kind of blackmail, basically.
Yes, it was always like, it's in the diary, so we've got to do it. Even though we're nowhere near fit enough. I mean, this will be a stretch 18 this morning.
Yeah.
Although,
over a bump, we went out on Monday and I ran to you and back again.
Yeah.
I did about 15 and a half.
Nice.
And that was far and away my longest run this year. And it felt fine, I carried on running.
Right.
All week, so I really feel like I've broken the back of it.
Well, this will be
psychologically.
This will be a big week for you, mileage-wise.
Yeah, that's right. We're looking at. Well, I've done 27 miles. So if we,
I've done 27 miles as well.
Oh, mate!
I've done exactly 27 miles, but I've done more runs than you, but I've done exactly 27. That's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
How cool!
Yeah. Well, there we go.
Yeah, that's great.
Let's get to 45.
Yeah, nice. Well, no, I mean, it's going to be 46, because I don't know where you live, but 27 plus 18 in my world is 45.
That's what I just said.
I know. I got confused.
No refunds! It's 27 plus 5.
It's fairly early in the morning for us. We very rarely go out on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, but I'm also kind of embarrassed because I put quite a little bit of time into the tech of
yes.
going out in the storm.
We've gone really high tech.
You might
this
be
morning.
Able to hear my rainproof jacket rustling. In photos, you see my golf ball running hat.
Yeah.
And we've covered the microphones with balloons.
We have balloons.
Like Steve told us.
Yes.
Well, Steve said condoms.
Right, yeah.
But
of
I haven't
course.
Got any of those.
Of course he would. He'd say that, wouldn't he?
Yes.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
So you
but no, we've gone brightly coloured balloons.
Just in case you didn't look ridiculous enough with yeah. the usual yeah. microphones. And anyway, it's literally not even raining, let alone
no.
windy.
No, it's actually perfectly mild and pleasant.
So far
it?
Today, it's been stormed.
Yeah.
Because at 8 o'clock this morning, it sounded like the end of the world.
Yeah, it was.
And it's probably horrible. Respect to Britain, maybe this weather is horrible somewhere else.
Elsewhere, yeah, but in London at the moment, we're okay.
Yeah.
And throughout the night, I could hear it raging. Could you hear it raging?
No, I was asleep.
You did well, mate.
You wanted to sleep, mate. That's
yeah.
That was
I didn't
a mistake.
Sleep too badly.
I had a night off last night ready for this. And
right.
that's in no way to do with the fact that no one had booked me to do a gig.
No.
I took the time.
It's good you made that sacrifice.
Yeah, I made a huge sacrifice to not work when no one wanted me to work, stay home and have a nice takeaway.
You do that.
Watch your
film. I only had the 4 gigs last night. In London.
You could have...
I could have just given you one.
You could have given me
Let's
2.
Let's face it. Yeah, I could have given you 2. I would have happily done so, to be honest. Comics don't really do that, do they?
And you were at the Banana, weren't you?
They don't divvy up the gigs.
I didn't think of the Banana for years.
I did 2 at 99, 1 at Comedy Carnival, and then went down to do the Banana.
Yeah.
Which always feels like a gig too far, really, that 4th one, going down on the Northern Line. But it was perfectly fine. Everything was great.
There's an old friend
a
of mine
tiring.
Used to be in a kind of scratch band with my mate Luke.
Yeah.
Who was a... He wrote some great songs, but he was very much made no claims to be a singer or a musician. He was a bit of a Marky Smith character.
Right.
And he had this great song we did. We went, Doing Time on the Northern Line. Doing Time on the Northern Line. I never could do what I wanted to do. Doing Time on the Northern Line. The colour of my life is grey in here.
Yeah.
That's so that's what you were doing last night. You were doing Time
that's
on the Northern
Line. Felt, yeah. And I had a guy in to see me at the first gig. Rob from Derby.
Oh, yeah.
Who'd been following me.
Well, oh, which way should we go? Because there's a fork.
There is a fork in
there's
the road.
There's a fork in the road.
My goodness, that's quite confrontational,
isn't
it?
I think this is the actual fork that starred in Oscar-winning film Toy Story 4. Oh, glad
that is a bit tricky, isn't it?
Yeah.
We should follow that fork.
Just go that way.
Yeah.
It should be okay.
Yeah, that way.
Sorry, Rob from Derby.
Yeah, and he's been turning up at gigs. He was described when I arrived at the 99 Club as a super fan.
Ooh.
Someone who wanted to meet me.
Yeah.
Problem was, I didn't really have time.
Yeah.
Because I had to do 2 gigs, so I thought, I'll give him a shout. I'll give him a shout while I'm on stage. I was on first.
Yeah.
And it was okay. I felt a bit bad for him, really, because you see me, it was quite a drab venue.
Yeah.
The sound wasn't great.
But I Which gave one was this again? 99?
99 at O'Neill's.
Okay.
And I gave him a shout when I was on stage. Once I'd established I was funny and got everyone laughing, I said, Rob's here, he's been following me for 30 years. When he started following me, I used to just be playing rooms above pubs. As I looked at the surroundings, realised
nice.
I was in exactly the same place. But it was a nice moment. But you always want those people who are really into you to see you in better venues. You wish they'd kind of reach out.
Yeah,
and you could tell them, listen, come and see me at this place.
Yeah, it was like when my
I'll
old
get you
friend,
on the gate, you know.
Who I did sort of lost touch with for years, caught up with, came to see me in Oxford, and then my sound stuff just didn't work.
Right.
This is what I normally do.
yeah. This is me. This is how it's going.
It's difficult, though. It's the kind of magic to that.
Yeah.
I think I am slightly inoculated against that by my old job.
Right.
Where, because it was... very kind of improv-y.
Yeah.
So if you had a really great show, you had to get used to the idea that that's that and it's never going to happen again, you know.
Right, okay.
No bottling it. And it just, of course, due to the nature of fate, that always happened in the middle of a field in Finland.
Yes,
and
yeah,
no
of course.
One would ever know except your co-presenter.
Yeah,
no
yeah,
record,
yeah.
No witnesses, you know.
Yes.
And then when you were... when the directors came to see us or someone we know was in the audience, things would get much more mundane.
Yeah. Wasn't quite so spicy.
Here we are. We've gone...
here we are.
Up through the N16 to...
just outside Costa Stoke Newington.
Used to be a Lloyds Bank, you know.
Just popped out.
So our route goes Stoke Newington High Street, Stoke Newington Common, and up to Clapton. That's phase one. Nice. We're going past the Mint Gun Club.
Nice.
I don't know what that means. So
nice morning, and it's been a.
So did you talk to Rob from Derby afterwards? And did he seem disappointed?
Did I talk to him about the what?
The gig and the show, and he was like, "Oh, I'm not going to follow you anymore."
No, I haven't seen him since because I had to rush out. I mean, I'll reach out on social media, but he's down for the weekend. You want to say? And then of course I went to the Strand Palace Hotel. Absolutely stormed it.
Yeah,
absolutely smashed it.
Anyone you know in at that one?
No. But it was quite funny because there was some guys who had been a bit.
Now, that gig is in the room where they have the post marathon do for Parkinson's.
Yes, it is, yeah, it is.
Yeah. That's funny, isn't it?
It is funny, yes.
Different lives.
You go down, yeah. Very different vibe. People less tired, but similarly boisterous. And there was a group who were going to get thrown out just before I came on.
Yeah.
And I just had a word with them before I went on. I said, listen, just give it 20 minutes. Just chill out.
Yeah.
You don't all have to get thrown out. Just relax and see whether you'll enjoy it. Just give me 5 minutes, see whether you enjoy it.
Yeah.
And they did, and everyone had a good time, and it was just nice, you know.
Yeah.
I hate it when people get thrown out. But sometimes I have to.
Yeah.
I totally appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, I know
and
exactly
that can go either way, you know.
Exactly, because sometimes there'll be a group or one person, and they're trouble for one section, two sections.
Yeah.
And you know, if you're on last, it's quite nice because you do sometimes think they'll be gone. They'll just be gone.
Yes.
They'll either leave or get thrown out.
Yeah.
You know, because their marathon is to get to the end of the gig.
Yeah.
And then the thing where I feel the opposite to you is when the venue, don't cross.
Right.
Where the venue say, we've had a word.
Yeah.
It's like the. Did you have a word? Did you do a magic spell?
Yes.
Because
what
you've got there is a person who hasn't got the skills to be at a comedy gig.
Yes.
Saying, can you suddenly...
Sometimes there's no rescuing it.
No, exactly. We're talking after, you know, multiple interventions.
Yes, yeah. But sometimes the people who kick off at the start of the evening are the people who give the people on last a bit more respect, unfortunately.
Yeah.
There's always that going on as well.
Yeah, that's true.
But then...
And also, there's group dynamics within their own groups.
Yes.
Self-policing.
And it's just like, we don't want to get kicked out.
Look at these daffodils.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
That's amazing.
I'm going to get a picture, but without stopping this time. Without stopping. It's me and you and the daffodils. It's me and you and daffodils. Got it. I think I got it.
There's also that feeling of... You feel slight guilt... By doing well with the people who've been ruining the game.
Yeah, that's right. So you've chosen the wrong side.
Yeah.
It's very you.
Yeah. No, they're all right. I know they've been really violent.
I know they punched the first guy in the face, but he's new.
He's had a troubled childhood. He doesn't quite know what he's doing. I've had a word with him. He punched me in the face, but he's calmed down since.
So, I just, you know, saying about my... old friend Luke, who did that song. He was on saw a post online from him this morning.
Right.
He's in a shop not far from here yesterday.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of police behind him discussing the relative, real police.
Right.
Not us.
Yeah.
Discussing the relative merits of chocolate bars.
I see the thing with the Kit Kat is always prefer the original flavour matrix.
Having said that, the chunky Kit Kat can provide substance for late night car journey, if that's how I realised in the Kit Kat franchise.
A lot of people favour the peanut butter. I approve of the flavour of peanut butter, but not outside the peanut butter context. Over.
For the discerning runner, they've also recently released several protein bars that might be almost on the cusp of health food.
Comedian runners noted travelling through a non-storm in North London.
Yeah. Preparing for inclement conditions that don't actually exist, have they?
Genuine police.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the Kit Kats.
Yeah.
And they were saying they couldn't find a chewing gum. And meanwhile their radios were going...
Right.
Assault on Dunster Lane. And
I can't police without chewing gum.
Yeah. Over. Yeah.
It's a character, isn't it? They do. They're a bit of gum in the mouth.
Yeah. It's a terrible job, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a tough gig. Especially now when you're in the culture that if someone attacks a police officer, 50% of people just start filming.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean,
right.
The culture's gone. There's
yeah,
no
that's
what
that happened.
It's awful. It's
that's
awful.
The person outside who got machete attacked by a guy in a van, wasn't it?
Right. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was actually their partner who got the video, but I think that's for legal reasons.
Right.
Rather than...
Right.
This will look great online.
Yeah.
And then the guy went to court and pleaded not guilty.
Yeah.
Which is audacious.
That one, isn't it?
It's Dennis. It's Dennis,
they
Paul.
Should lay up.
It's Dennis.
Dennis is well
you have to wade across Dennis here.
Osbaldiston Road.
I mean, after worrying about the storm, we're now looking for evidence.
Quickly. Actually pleased to meet him.
Mind Dennis.
Yeah. So you've been doing some running this week. You did a park run yesterday.
I did. Well, yeah. Eagle-eared listeners will have listened on Monday and heard me talking myself into it.
Right.
And you enabling that.
Yes.
It's all kind of, well, that should be quite good.
A pre-Bramley 20 park run. Yeah.
Damn it, he's right. So, and of course I have planted that seed.
Yeah.
Which is, if you can go to park, go to park.
Yeah.
And the fact that I missed one that I could have done this year, it really plays on my mind.
And where was it then? Where, pardon my ignorance, where is Southsea?
Ah, Portsmouth and Southsea.
Right, okay.
So, it was lovely actually. I was doing the gig in Portsmouth Wedgwood Rooms, Southsea Wedgwood Rooms. Old, you know, long established.
That's been going for centuries.
Yeah,
hasn't it?
I mean, one of my first
yes
ever paid gigs. As
yeah, I remember those gigs. Yeah,
and
really nice room.
And it's actually the kind of the same, and it isn't. Yeah. The comedy's changed, but it's the same room.
Yeah,
same good atmosphere, good numbers. The only difference is Dinger doesn't host it anymore.
Right,
and that's a real shame.
Yes,
shout out to Dinger, who also loves a run.
He was at the Institution, wasn't he? Yes,
it's his park run I was doing. Dinger was a comedy fan, a kind of punk postman.
Yes.
Who would come down to the bedrooms, tell jokes.
Yeah.
And have like a joke competition, then bring the axe on.
Yeah, it was
and
great.
And it just really,
it really
set
worked
the thing up.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So, harsh on Joe Wells, who is a longer form Edinburgh Festival
right
professional comic, doing his material, and you're like, yeah, but where's Dinger?
Yeah. This is all well and good.
Yeah, it's in your jokes, are you?
Where's the old jokes
yeah,
with Dinger?
Yeah. I want to know about this bloke
yeah
who comes home to find his wife in bed with another bloke. Oh, yeah. That kill that business. Yeah. So, but apart from Dinger, same old, which yeah of course is, you know, to use your terminology, it can be a little bit... There's an honesty to that. It's a bit confrontational.
It can be
going
for
into a room you've done for 20 years.
It can be
for
the individual comic, certainly.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I loved it as such.
Yeah.
You know, in the daytime, oh, here we go, back to the Wedgwood Rooms.
Yeah.
On stage, I'm thinking, well, this is great.
Yes.
And I felt loose.
Yeah, good, good, good.
And I was on with another.
Who were you on with?
What I was on with, well, one of the... I was on with our good friend of the show, Angela Barnes.
Oh, right, yes.
It's nice to see her, cracking form.
Angie, good.
South yes Coast comedian.
Yes.
Also found out about what Matt's doing in terms of ultras and stuff.
Yeah.
But there was another comedian on who was very much saying, we can't make a living anymore. And,
right.
You know, very much a, even among us.
Right.
A long established act.
Right.
So I'm kind of, not complaining, but... observing the changes
having
in the
a good
industry
old moment, right.
And I was just thinking, you got to change with it, mate.
Left. Yeah, 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 yeah.
You know, and maybe again, I sort of jumping off that, I tried, I've been really enjoying you know, finding out what it's like to address the comedy of the fact that I'm a person older than the audience.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh.
So we've just got to Clapton Common. I've noticed with you and my wife that my signalling of where we're going to go is minimal at best.
A bit wayward, yeah. But that's the,
it's easy for me because I always know where I'm going.
But that is the way forward, isn't it, in terms of...
Yeah, and I really felt
for
it.
For you and the crowd. And,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That has to be the way forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it does change, you know, just
yeah
the basic rhythm and feel of comedy. That's the nice thing because to talk about it now... It sounds like saying, oh, it's so old, it's all changed. But it's not, when you're on stage, you're dealing with it, it's the clown in you.
Yeah.
Says, well, this is fun.
Yes, of course.
I can do comedy about this.
Yes, yeah.
You
yeah
know, because you feed off the audience, and the audience is a bunch of young people who've never seen you before.
Yeah.
What a golden opportunity.
Yeah, and they know whether you're having fun.
Yeah.
Fun's contagious.
Absolutely.
And they know instantaneously whether you have it or
absolutely.
Not.
Absolutely. And I have, you know, I had this thing where I'm just wrestling with my greatest hits at the moment in a good way.
Yeah.
Because I had this weird thing where after Dad died, last kind of October, when I felt very, not disconnected, but like it didn't matter.
Right.
I was just having great gigs.
Yeah.
Telling jokes I'd told for a long time and just thinking, this is the best I've ever got out of these.
Yeah.
You know? And then, and that was a moment in time.
Right.
And it kind of gave me the fear about doing new stuff. But that moment's passed now.
I wonder whether that, there's a facility up there, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, but it's all closed. They're doing works.
All right, no worries.
I don't think...
No worries.
I don't think it's going to work out for you.
Oh, well, never mind.
Do you need to...
No, we'll see.
We're getting to the Anchor and Hope quite soon.
Oh, yeah.
It won't be open yet on a Sunday, though.
No. We're fine. We've actually got various areas should the need arise.
That's right. There's wooded areas.
Yeah.
We're in Springfield Park. Anyway, so I basically accidentally created a slight crutch in my established 20.
Right.
So I have to be quite bold now to dump it and go a different way.
Right, okay.
And I was doing that this week. I did it in High Wycombe and it was fine.
Right.
And I did it in the Portsmouth and it was great. So it's an exciting time for my jokes.
That's great.
But you didn't ask about that. That was a robin there on that tree. I like this, we're coming through Springfield Park, and you know when you run somewhere loads of times and then find a new path?
Right.
This terrace, it's like the grand old Duke of York terrace in Springfield Park. It's neither up nor down.
Yeah.
And it just crosses the middle, and it's really nice. You've got views out to the reservoirs to the left, and then the green sward on the right. So there you go, it's a nice place. Recommended. But, so Southsea Parkrun is next to the pier there. And then I felt quite smart because obviously got up to drink coffee and express myself.
Yeah.
Ready for the run.
Ready for the,
and
sprint off.
I suddenly realised that they might have cancelled it because the weather and
because they were
already cancelled Bramley.
Yeah.
So I got online and they had put a post saying, we might or might not cancel it, I'll check it out at 8.
Right.
And the guy, it was really nicely elastic because the guy, the run director, walked the course at 8.
Yeah.
Sent a message at 8:30 saying we're doing it, but take care.
Yeah.
Even at 10 to 8, it was like, 10 to 9, sorry. He was like, oh, it's going to be a bit rough out there. And then at 9 o'clock, he was like, it's fine, actually.
Yeah, that's nice.
So it's very, well, real gratitude to him for really sort of playing that live, because it would have been totally reasonable to cancel it the day before.
Yes, yeah. It kind of... It doesn't need much organising, does it, a parkrun?
No.
I mean, you know, you get your marshals, you get your finishing funnel. Do you know what I mean? In terms of race admin and the structure of it, the architecture of it.
Yeah.
That's one of its joys, isn't it?
Yeah. But on the other hand, it's leadership, isn't it?
Yes.
Saying this is what's going to happen.
Yeah, totally. No, it's great they can be that flexible, isn't it?
Yeah.
And also shows what people are like, that they're flexible as well.
Yeah.
Presumably, a few people turned up.
Yeah. I think there's 350 people there. And then it wasn't amazing weather,
right.
But it was easily the best weather of the day. You know, it was basically windy, but it wasn't rainy.
Yeah.
And it was quite bright, and the sun kind of almost came out around the end of it.
Right.
And then within an hour or so, it was raining. So it was absolutely, the timing was great.
Yeah.
And we couldn't have made use of that without the run director being so, you know, attending to it so live.
Yeah.
As it was a serious headwind when you turned back.
Right.
And but I think you're used to it. It's a seaside parkrun, isn't it? So I think
it's
quite rare to have one of those without that. And there was one bit where the beach was kind of on the promenade, so you had to watch out for where the shingle and stuff had blown up onto the... But it wasn't too bad, and they warned us. Anyway, so Southsea Parkrun, it's really nice. And a couple of people said hello.
Nice.
Which is great.
That gives you a boost.
That really puts us in the mood, doesn't it? So... And we set off. It's a there and back.
Yeah.
You go past the pier, which has got like an old awning, it's a bit like a railway station. It's got a big sort of Victorian awning you go underneath. And then you go out east along the coast path. Not coast path, that makes it sound like it's all cliffy. The promenade, you know.
Yeah.
And then...
I love a promenade, don't you? Because they tend to be quite flat and... quite decent. I don't know what was the tarmac reading on it.
Yeah, well, it's a bit of a surface because it's seasidey, so it breaks down a bit.
Right.
And it's also got this design in it. Once you get out there, it's got kind of squares of one stone surrounded by tarmac. It's a little bit older. It's been fixed in places, and there was a tiny patch of where the beach had encroached on it.
Right.
But basically, yeah, excellent. You know, you can really get along, and you can do things like, I'll go along here on the other side of the lamps for a minute to overtake these people, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And then it's a very simple run to get your head round, you know.
Yeah.
You run out to, and those are the marshals you want to thank.
Yes.
That kind of marshal that's, you know, specifically 2.5 kilometres from their mates.
Yes.
Just watching a load of people run past.
Yes, yes.
And then they've got to walk back again.
That is, so, well, that is volunteering.
Gratitude,
isn't it?
That's absolutely
pure volunteering, yeah. Thank
and,
you.
And it's, you know, it's that simplicity of South Tees. It's just the there and backer.
Right.
Which is great for your running.
Yeah.
And I think that, turn back into the wind, there's a funny kind of yin and yang to that because it kind of makes it okay for it to be hard.
Right.
Which in turn made it okay to go hard.
Yes.
So I felt like I was quite strong. And I sort of thought, I reckon this wind is going to be harder for me than some. Because I'm quite a, you know, I'm a bit like a sail.
Yeah, yeah.
Quite a wide panel.
Yes, you give
for the wind to catch.
Surface area.
And there was another guy in front of me who was, big torso, and about a foot taller than me.
Yeah.
And he definitely slowed down after the turn back. So that was our excuse, you know, the wind. But then I held on, you know, again, sort of just keying in with the people you're next to, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that I was really pleased with it. It's an improvement in recent weeks.
Yeah.
But not an amazing time.
But it was more, you had a nice position, didn't you?
Yeah, and it was, that's right, because looking at it, I don't think anyone did more than about, did faster, much faster than 19 minutes.
Right, okay.
I think the person that came first was like 18 and a half.
Right.
And I came in.
So it's a slowish park run as a course.
Yeah, or certainly on this day, that's right. And he was saying beforehand, oh, no one's going to get a PB.
Right.
So I did it in just under 21 minutes, 20:59.
Nice, yeah.
And, nice. Yeah, I was 15th.
Yeah, that's good.
Which means, you know,
getting
good
to
things.
The sharp end, that's nice.
That's right. And did notice, because I was looking at the results, I wanted to, there was a guy, me and another guy, overtook each other a couple of times in the final kilometre.
Yeah.
And he came in ahead of me. Good luck to him. And I said, well done. He said, there was stuff.
Yeah.
So that was good to hear. And it's kind of him to say that to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I read his subtext. But funny enough, he wasn't in front of me. There was another guy who couldn't claim any of that drama, who just overtook me at the end and got in between us. Damn it!
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And a woman who was in front, who I was trying to ignore him and pace off her because she was steadier and I was never going to get her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, all good. So I wanted to look that all up and check my place in the field. And you see that thing with the park where the, every now and again, the super fast youngsters, they don't bip their barcodes.
Right.
So they're down as unknown.
Right.
That's a bit grumpy about that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's beneath you, is it? To be part of our thing.
Yeah.
It's odd because, you know, for me.
Or is it just young kids being disorganised?
Yeah, there is that.
Yeah.
But they're so fast, you can't hold it against
them.
Yeah. It's like, if you're going to do it like that,
do it properly. Disorganised and yet organised enough to be really, really fit and fast.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So this is the side of the canal that we don't often run on, isn't it?
No, that's right. We're on the London side of the canal down through, just getting to the end of Millfields Park.
Right.
And going south towards where we normally pick it up and get down to Hackney Marshes. Stay left.
You can only assume that a lot of people are doing their long Sunday runs as well.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people out running today.
Yeah, there's a fair few, and it's that classic thing where the weather's bad.
Yeah.
Is you suddenly realise that demographically there are only runners and dog walkers.
Yeah, you want to
look at these little daffodils here.
It's bad that it's that thing with the Sunday run, isn't it? It's the earlier you get out to do it, the sooner it'll be over.
There is that.
This will be over by one.
That doesn't sound great. I know you were trying to give it a positive spin.
I know.
There we are. Oh, that's that curve of the canal.
But Storm Dennis is If we didn't know this was Storm Dennis, we wouldn't be calling this Storm Dennis.
That's right, point. But it is raining.
We'd just be saying it was raining.
Yeah, that's right.
So let's just call it rain at the moment.
Yeah.
Not worthy of storm status.
I'm pleased in a way.
But incessant, nevertheless.
We'll see what happens next, because in the coming half hour, we'll get to Hackney Marshes, which is right. Big and flat, and yeah. We'll invite wind.
I love running across Hackney Marshes.
And then, of course, the other side of that is a bit of a forest.
Yeah.
So, let's see if the wind's blown anything out of the trees.
Yeah.
Under the bridge, under the Lee Bridge Road, past the Princess of Wales.
Pub and garden, thank you.
There's a pub in the next village along from me where I grew up.
Right.
Used to be called the Three Feathers.
Right.
And now it's called England's Rose.
All right,
okay. My England's Rose, no ever knew you at all, who's wearing a mirror, trying to marry a married Paul.
It's quite something to, just in an etymological sense, pub names being based on moments in history. That's kind of the thing that illustrates the Princess Diana thing the most, is the fact that there are pubs named after her.
Yes, yeah, yeah. My mind turns in a slightly anodyne way, but it is the day after. And my kids found it shocking, and I found it shocking.
Yeah, and I found it shocking. I know where we're going.
Even though you're not a fan of the show.
Yeah.
Caroline Flack, rest in peace. What an awful, awful.
Yeah, that was yesterday. If you're listening to this at some future point,
yeah.
Caroline Flack was, to use the euphemism of the press, found dead yesterday.
Yes, in a room, unfortunately.
Which is so awful. I mean, it's the thing that comes straight to mind is that sense that suicide being a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think everyone just wants it to be, you know, like, it would have been all right. You know,
it's that kind
desperate
of
feeling you have.
It's that sort of rush to offer simplistic reasons or solutions in any way, isn't it? It's obviously a complex scenario.
Absolutely. I mean, it really
there's
a complex scenario being played out in the cartoonish realm of the of the media.
Yeah. But I think just to blame the media.
Oh no, it's not
too much as well. It goes in every direction, doesn't it? But it's just a real shame. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
A year
it goes
ago,
in every direction, but the heart of it is a tragedy.
Yeah, totally, completely. And a year ago, she was so on top.
Yeah.
It's that vulnerability, isn't it, that it makes you mindful of, you know.
Yeah, and that sense in life that it's very hard. When bad things happen, you see bad things happening in the world, you think, oh, that's terrible. And then when your life... Hey! we're running and recording. How you doing?
Hello, mate.
Good it's good that we've actually got you know, balloons on our microphones and everything in a really embarrassing way.
And
we needed a witness.
We thought
we
were going to see Storm Dennis, but he hasn't appeared as yet.
Right, I'm just coming back to.
I live
on that boat.
Oh, nice!
Oh, really? Oh, nice.
Let's get out of the way of these runners.
How long have you been on the boat?
2 years now.
Go on. 9 a.m. Let's have it. going long, going hard. Go hard or go home.
It's a training run, so we haven't done enough miles, so we're going to push towards 20 miles today. Yeah.
So can we
stop off in your boat and do a poo? Yeah.
that's my running club.
Yeah, that's great. So you know all those people.
That's running club. Yeah.
God, talk about see everyone we know.
Yeah, it's all happening.
Well, we better run on.
Yeah, we're going to go. Take care, love. See you later.
I'm impressed with this boat business. I'm going to keep an eye out for you next time.
Yeah, how funny to meet the old. I think that's the 9 a.m. group.
Yeah.
So they'll do about 20.
Yeah, well, I know this moment in marathon training with the Heathsiders from your book.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing was with the... When I did it, I've only been there once. They, of course, just go every week.
It's
part of the structure of the week, you know.
And now they're in front of us. I've got to get a picture. This is the real Heathsiders in the wild.
Yeah.
I picture them always wearing the vests. But that has not happened in this case.
The hardcore aren't there actually this morning. That's quite a mellow grouping. They might even be the 10 o'clock group, I don't know, but they're definitely Heathsiders.
And Wind and rain, did you feel that?
Yeah, it's coming in.
So yeah, we were interrupted talking about something serious.
Who was that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Right, okay. it makes my kids aware of, you know, the loose nature of gossip and slander.
Yep.
And to be careful, just be mindful that these are people, you know.
Yeah. I've never forgotten Charlie Brooker covering one year on the screen wipe, talking about when the press's favourite thing was how crazy Britney Spears was.
Right.
And specifically, she'd had a moment where she went off screaming and railing against the world in the back of an ambulance.
Yes.
Now look at that, she's so crazy going off in her ambulance. Yeah. And he had footage from like 100 feet further away.
Yeah.
Of the 150 people screaming at her.
Yes.
With cameras and flashes and going, oh, Brandy! And of course that part of the story is entirely edited out.
Yes.
You always read it as if it's happening in a vacuum.
Yes.
And then, you know, and the tabloid media behave as if it's happening in a vacuum. It's tied in at the other end.
But they're not part of it.
They're not part of it.
Yeah.
And of course it's all connected. It's the social, local version of global politics.
Yeah.
When people behave like, you know, insurgents in a faraway country are just making a fuss. When they have legitimate, you know, they're not legitimate, I'm not legitimising violence, I'm saying they have a relationship with global politics, you know. They know history, they're connected in a very real sense of what happened. Everything's connected.
Yeah.
And then it gets reported as if that person is just freaking out all on their own. But yeah, it's two different things, isn't it? There's the media fact. It's down here.
Sure.
The media thing, but also just that sense of how, like you say, things can get really messy.
Yeah.
You don't know how it's going to happen to someone, you know, to you, to one.
Yes, and that kind of, the flip side of fame thing is obviously, sometimes you get preferential treatment.
Yeah.
And this is going to get played out, and maybe we'll find out, maybe we won't, but it's very unusual for domestic violence cases to continue when the partner's been committed an assault against doesn't want to press charges.
Yeah.
There felt like there was an element of someone being made an example of, possibly. Of course, it's conjecture.
Yeah.
But that's certainly what the management's been saying today.
Yeah.
And just awful. Awful.
That's right. Yeah. And, like you say, I'm not a fan. I don't watch. I'm not a habitual disser of Love Island. I just don't watch much day-to-day TV because I'm so film obsessed.
Yeah.
But it is the third suicide in connection to
linked
that show.
Linked with that show, yeah.
That can't be right.
Yeah, there's
something. Mind you, they've connected 70 suicides to the Department of Work and Pensions. So
it does
show that things will carry on, even when they do seem to be leading directly to misery and death.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a coot.
So we're coming on to the edge of the marshes.
Yes, we've got a little strip of woodland between us and the marshes.
Right.
Got the Heathsiders up ahead.
Yeah.
Which is like a nice little metaphor for what running and knowing other people are running is like.
Yes, I mean.
In.
A lot of people. Well, this is a key zone for people's spring marathon preparation, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Mid-February, the long runs are starting to click in.
There'll be a fair few people here in London who are 10 weeks out now.
Yeah.
So, 6 weeks into a training plan, they're probably... Oh, yeah, let's go left here. They'll be... Watch out, bike. Oh. Sorry. I literally told you to go left, and you went left, and there was a bike coming. I nearly facilitated the accident of our lives.
Yeah.
They put some wood chips down here.
Nice.
To hold the mud off
it all up.
On the little step onto Hackney Marshes.
So we're about 8 weeks out from...
Seven
Manchester.
Weeks today.
Yeah.
So they'll be doing 15, 16, would you say? If they're working with a training plan.
Yeah, I mean, for first-time marathon runners now, they'll be on about 15, 16. Yeah. This is a nice view.
Yeah, it's just...
I really like this, yeah.
It's just such a big space.
Yes.
Have we talked about them putting trees back in here?
No.
Do you know this?
No, I didn't know
this. You know the rewilding thing.
Yeah.
Well, I think the Mayor of London has bought back, or, well, already owns, but has repurposed a patch of Hackney Marshes to plant a load of trees.
Right.
Because it's massive. It will carry on being a sports arena, but they can actually get a significant forest going on here.
Nice.
So that's quite exciting. It's just amazing to find somewhere in London that can happen, you know.
Yeah. That is really nice.
Julia's been reading what's her name? Isabella Tree?
Right.
I might have got that wrong, but I don't think so, because it's a brilliant bit of nominative determinism. And she's written this book called Wilding. And it's really good, but it's pretty dry and factual. She's like, this is fascinating, but tell me more about the lovely bits and less about the hectares.
No, it's a nice little space.
And so we're going to wild our back garden, which, as you know, is basically 6 square feet of concrete.
You're going to get
but
a
we've
little
been
forest
looking
there.
To get it sorted out for ages.
Little
so
microforest.
Instead of doing it really fancy and spending money on new decking, we'll just make a hole in the ground and let some brambles grow.
Nice, yeah.
Easy.
So we're having a good splash through the marshes.
The old cold foot. It's a funny thing, the way never quite work out whether to bother avoiding puddles or not.
No.
Because your feet get wet, you think, ooh, and then they warm up.
Yeah, and you think,
and it's fine. And that always, and yet it never wears off.
Yeah.
You're doing that totally sodden York Marathon.
Yeah.
Still, you know, 18 miles in, going, oh no, a puddle.
Yeah.
Feel a little bit like Homer Simpson when he is in a world of chocolate and bites a chocolate dog and a chocolate lamppost and then gets really excited when he sees a shop that says chocolate 50% off. Bramley 20% off next year for people who...
I'm so glad it didn't happen. I was sort of in the shape to do it.
Yeah.
I would have gone for it, but I think the last 4 miles would have spoken a sorry tale. That was my prediction.
I knew we should look for some... We're going to try a little bit today to look for some consistency. Use the fact that we're running at podcast pace now, and that I did a parkrun yesterday, to try and be running as steady as this.
Yes.
When, not if, when we're back here in, you know, 2 hours' time. I can't imagine it, Paul. It's a terrible idea.
Yeah. We're doing okay.
I still don't think much evidence of Dennis. I think if it was
absolutely
bad, there'd be more tree on the ground here.
No, there's absolutely no evidence of Dennis. It would have felt very stupid if we hadn't gone out because of Dennis.
Yeah.
And it is my another excuse I was launching upon the world unheeded was it's my son's 17th birthday.
Very exciting time.
Today, yeah. So, I'd kind of forgotten, only because he gives it such little attention in his kind of I'm not communicating with the world kind of crusade.
Yeah.
And then suddenly yesterday it's like, have you not got me any clothes for my birthday? We've been asking you all week what you want for your birthday.
Yeah.
To absolutely zero response. But he had some mates on last night.
Yeah.
Weren't
that? Was it Wednesday? Yesterday?
No, it's today. It's today. It's
wow, this big, isn't it?
Today, so it's
as
not...
your youngest child can now drive a car.
He's 17, so...
Yeah.
Is that car driving age?
Yeah,
it is. I didn't know that.
What do you think? Do you think he's going to be a good driver? Safe?
That is so worrying. He's nowhere near driving a car. I mean, he suggests living with a mate so he can be nearer the Brit school.
Right.
He suggested that we get him a flat and he lives with a mate. You've got no idea how far away he's from that happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, he can...
It's like, well, that's a no. Happy birthday!
He hasn't had enough living his life whilst living with us. Never mind organise himself when he's not. So go outside and return with all the things he set off with.
Yeah.
Is a major achievement.
Well, it is, and it is, to be fair to him, you know, when you're living through it, you really do see, and there's something I read about, how teenagers' brains work. It sounds like I'm being really crass, but
no,
you know, it's in Bill Bryson.
Yeah,
it's not,
you're right.
As he said, they're not just young grown-ups, it's a whole different system that's shifting and changing.
It absolutely is, yeah.
And when you see it on the ground, it's basically these kids. I'm thinking of my daughter now, who's, you know, younger of mine, so significantly younger than me. This combination of autonomy,
yeah,
and good ideas,
yeah,
getting stuff sorted out, and specifically not wanting input or help from us.
Yes.
And yet, in another way, they're useless. They've got, like, no framework.
Total inability to do it, yes.
They're going to turn around and go, oh, I forgot my keys, or
yeah.
I don't know where I live, or
yeah.
I got in the bus in the wrong direction.
Why am I eating my own pants?
Yeah, it's amazing how they get to there.
Yeah.
So often.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
So you're not going to get a flat?
Absolutely not, no. I mean, but that's not to say that he's not capable of great things. It's just, you're right, their brains are still developing. It's sort of unfair, really, that he's living a life now where he has to get up during the week, most days, about 6:45 in the morning.
Yeah.
That's unnatural for a teenage brain. It just is. I'm aware of this.
It's unnatural for someone 30 years older than him.
But especially for him, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm aware of the injustices.
I get up at 20 to 7 every day.
Yeah.
Just can't get used to it.
Yeah.
I'm good at it. Up out of bed, get busy. Yeah. But it's like, oh!
Yeah.
And then if I get extra sleep, the other day my wife said, you go back to sleep. I slept for 2 more hours.
Yeah.
And when I got up, I was worse.
Yeah.
Honestly, just such a headache and despair.
Your body's remembered what it's like to get rest.
Yeah.
It needs more. It's had a glimpse of what it needs.
Yeah, it's like I just gave it a taste of it. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's disastrous. But anyway, let's get back to the teenagers.
Yeah, so we're going to go. I mean, my wife's bought him a... I'm part of this relationship, family.
Yeah.
Has bought him, but she's
sourced. On our behalf.
She's sourced.
She is a source, isn't she, your wife? Oh, yeah. Sorry, that wasn't like you meant.
She's all right, sourced.
Actually, podcast presenter accidentally objectified the comedian's wife.
Some kind of hot sauce. comedian involved, didn't take offence at all. Over, in fact, joined him.
totally inappropriate. Yeah. In any year, particularly 2020.
2020. Over. No, she's she bought him a reconditioned laptop. Because we couldn't quite stretch to one that was like 1,700 quid.
Yeah.
But she's
particularly as you know he's going to drop it down the stairs.
Yeah, especially he's going to just smash it over my head in the next 10 minutes. But it's a good present, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
We spent a lot of money on it.
Yeah.
And he's always editing, and it'll be great for him.
Yeah.
But it's not nothing.
Yep.
So hopefully he'll be pleased with that.
No refunds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you say that when you hand it over?
Yeah. Enjoy your present. No refunds.
I don't suppose you saw him this morning.
No, not really, no.
Aww.
But I'll see when we get back. Yeah, it was one of those things. So now we're looping back.
Yeah, we've got to
Stokey.
The whole thing is it's a figure of eight, right? So
right.
To recap, we've come out through
Stoke, Newington, Stoke Newington Common,
yeah.
Up over the top of the hill at Morning Magpie, Clapton,
right.
Down through Spinfield Park,
yeah.
South.
Yeah.
I realised that we turned off from the Heath side as they're carrying on down, aren't they, to the yes. Olympic Park or the river or
they
something.
They will do, yeah, yeah.
So we turned left.
They'll go right
and
to
now we're on the, exactly where Hackney Marshes Parkrun takes place.
Yes, we are. I'm getting parkrun flashbacks here.
As a parkrun tourist. Oh, by the way, there's an app. I've got an app that collates my parkrun results for me.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Anyway,
they're getting everywhere, aren't they?
As a parkrun tourist, I just suddenly realised how big and fast Hackney Marshes Parkrun is.
Right.
It's one of those ones, I suppose it's, you know, cities and towns.
What do you mean in terms of the number of people who do it?
Loads of people do it.
Yeah.
And get incredible times.
Yeah, it is fast, yeah.
You know. It's partly because it's flat, but I think it's also because it draws people in. And maybe because this is a sporting environment, you know, we're near the marshes, which is full of football and rugby and stuff.
Yeah.
We're near the Olympic Park.
Yes.
So I think it draws athletes as well as
a bit of that,
weekend runners.
It draws people in, yeah.
And that's why it's so nice to realise, as people who initially came, you know, in a fairly almost cynical sense of it's flat and we might get a good time, to have that relationship with Hackney where we've seen the whole field and the people who come down and walk around it or you know,
yeah,
basically, or start 10 minutes later but still do it and stuff. Just, it's, well, it's like all parkruns, it's, it serves everyone.
The truth is, it's become, in London for me, it's become my go-to parkrun.
Yeah.
So what I prefer doing.
Yeah, you know the one I'd like to get back to, and I think every time we go through there, it's Finsbury Park.
Yeah, Finsbury Park is great as well, actually.
And I want to do Highbury again, it's just that I did that load, so right at the beginning.
Yeah, same here, same
I still,
here.
I've still, Highbury Park kind of, it draws, I'm going to start the sentence again.
Start again.
Highbury, Hackney and South Manchester.
Yeah.
I've done all three of them about the same amount of times.
Right.
So,
I'm slightly haunted by Highbury Parkrun because it was where I was very fast when I did it.
Yeah, right.
So I'm slightly...
You don't want to go back and see the difference.
I used to do just about 90 minutes there, which is quite good for that course.
Yeah,
so
that's good anyway.
I was
it's
a
really
bit... I won't be anywhere near that now, so
yeah.
There'll be a bit of a swallow involved in going back, but I should do it.
I got one of my sub-20s there.
Yes.
So
yeah.
It's obviously...
No, I remember you saying it.
It's not completely... Maybe that's just us, so I don't
it's
think
not
so.
Slow, it's just a lap thing, isn't it? And a slight uphill.
Yeah.
Every lap, just a slight...
I think maybe a bit like the wind in Southsea yesterday. It kind of chivvies you into a strong park run.
Yeah. Yes, I...
From that point of view, back we go.
Yeah.
So, I do love them though.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll be doing Bakewell next weekend.
Nice.
As part of the run camp thing.
All right. What is the run camp?
It's run camp. It's.
Are you doing the marathon talk thing? Are you?
Yeah, yeah.
Good for you.
Marathon talk run camp.
Right.
With Bakewell Parkrun on the Saturday and
yeah.
Carsington Water half okay. marathon on the Sunday. So this model.
What are you doing both?
Park run and the long run. I'm repeating next weekend.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's good. And you're doing a gig for the marathon talk people?
Yes.
How cool.
And I think Tony Audenshaw's going to be there. Martin Yelling will be there.
Tony Audenshaw. Tony Audenshaw. That's great.
We need to go running with Tony again. Talking of things that, you know, we have to go back is the fact that you went on that one. It's a real shame.
Yes.
That's a beautiful run.
He was a really good run.
Because, of course... We ran, listeners may or may not know, we ran with Tony and Rachel and Cullen on the same day, which was
hard work.
It was a good day.
Yeah, it was really good fun.
Funny enough, I do think that I've got a better idea. You don't know those people, do you?
No.
The running group up there. I think I've got a better idea of how trail tires you out.
Yeah.
Than I did then.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Guardian yesterday was pushing trail running as a thing.
As a what sort of thing? As a good thing. Oh, all right.
All right, Bramble.
Snaggled by brambles. Coped with it really well.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a problem.
No one listening is going to know.
Hardly anyone, right?
Oh, my God. Kicks a twig.
Help! Help!
Just as we talk about trail running.
Yeah.
Comedian. Brushes bramble with leg sent into Victorian lady.
Yeah. Extreme overreaction. Leads me to believe he may be incompatible for long distance trail events.
paddle.
Splash, splash.
Oh, no.
See, we're okay. We don't mind getting wet feet.
No, I don't mind. No. We've accepted
that. So, yeah, we turn back north. Which way do we want to go here? Oh, I know. We're on an old... I don't know what it used to be. Because it's a... Maybe it used to be a railway. I don't think so.
Right.
We've just gone under Leabridge Road again. And then we get on a really kind of straight dike in the Walthamstow Marshes.
Yeah.
Which just...
goes on and
sits above it and goes straight.
Yeah.
Up to the bit where we're going to have to duck down to get under the railway.
Zigzagging round. So we've...
Cheers.
We should talk about the bookity book.
So the book. Since we last ran, we had your lovely book launch.
Yes.
And I've read your book.
It's alright, mate.
Yes.
Well,
it's great.
The book launch was such a nice evening. Because obviously you get a book out and you do your... and you release it and it goes out into the world and you get loads of feedback and it's great. But the kind of...
That doesn't necessarily happen, by the way.
No.
But that's another story.
No.
Go on.
But the book launch just gave me a chance to... It kind of gave me what I didn't get with my 50th.
Yeah.
I sort of didn't get the chance to just make a speech and say... and just be really nice to Rachel.
Yeah.
And I just got the chance to thank everyone associated with the book, including you, who sadly missed a speech.
So great to hear you thanking me like that.
Yeah.
Aforementioned
teenager. Yeah.
Made me and my wife late to the book launch.
Which is a shame. But
it is a shame. I feel terrible.
Oh, no,
but I'd say really selfishly, I think I would have gone. So I'm glad.
Yeah.
In terms of my own discomfort with public displays of emotion.
Because
me and JC had a little cry when we were talking about it.
Yeah, he was going, we'll chat about JC. But I was, I thank Runner's World, I thank all the Heathside lot, I thanked yourself, and I thanked everyone associated with the book and the publisher and stuff, and then I thanked Rachel. Then I read a bit about Rachel, about meeting her and falling in love with her.
Yeah.
And it's just really nice.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
It's just a really nice, and I was funny, and with all your mates there, those... That doesn't happen very often, does it?
No, it's a special moment.
It really was.
And just in terms of the book and what it is, it's a quiet little counterpoint to the sub-3 marathon itself.
Yes, yeah.
But that's what I wanted to say to you. I want to give you the... Someone else was saying this online yesterday, and it's so true. Give the Apollo 13 award
right.
for pulling 100% drama out of a story
that we know
what happens.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's specifically your sub-3 marathon, which we all know you did.
Yes.
And I think anyone picking up the book can probably see that that's where it goes.
I mean, that's a part
it's
of it.
It's not a secret, is it?
Yeah, I mean, the truth of the matter is that running sub-3 and getting commission for the book became the same thing.
Yeah.
No one's going to read a book about someone who gave it the marathon absolutely everything to eat sub-3 and then didn't.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you know what I mean? The two became...
You have to create that punchline.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. Which is a good...
Which is a really good motivation pressure.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
me, you know.
Quite a weird, unusual... not a motivation everyone's going to have.
Yes,
but,
yeah.
But really good.
But it worked for me.
But I think that's what I loved about it. Well, I also think it's really nice to read... a book by you because it suits you, you know. I read David Sedaris and then I read your book and I thought,
all right.
In a very broad sense, it's the same thing. You know, you're a journalist, philosopher, a clear voice, and that has always expressed itself through stand-up and through your columns. So we're ready to read it on the page, you know
what
I mean?
Yeah. It was really nice to just craft something for people and try and take people along on the journey without alienating people who aren't going for 3 hours.
No, that's
try to keep it open to everyone because that's what marathons are great for.
Yeah.
For that, aren't
and
they?
And that's why it's the framework. I mean, it's, you know, I'm steeped in everything that you might think other people might find off-putting, but I think you did that thing where you take that framework as a lens to look at everything.
Yes.
First of all, to look at your whole life.
Yes, yeah,
and
yeah.
And secondly, to look at life.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's what a story is. Same way if you're Tom Rigsworth and you help an old lady on the train.
Yes.
A story should be a lens
Yes.
Through which we look at everything.
It's just a platform to stand and have a look at it, isn't it?
Yeah. Because that's the other thing, if you only wrote that book, which would be a shame. But we could say, we could come away and say, I get about Paul.
Yes, yeah, totally.
What you've done in your life, where you are now.
Which actually makes it quite a tricky book to follow, but that's a different question. But
that's a good problem to have.
It is, and it's...
But yeah, exactly, whatever book you write next, it will in a sense be a different angle on the same story.
Yes. I mean, the thing about the marathon, about when you do marathons, or long distance running, or any running really, it just brings up all your stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When you get tired, when you get exhausted and emotional.
Yeah, you take away that layer of skin.
It brings everything up.
Yeah.
Which is
and
part of the reason why I think it's so healthy.
Yeah, and if you ever get out and run to the point where, I don't know what the medical point, we should look into that.
Yeah.
The point when you're, because we're fit and we run slow, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're running to, it's not like that moment when you're first running fast and the endorphins really drop.
Yeah.
And you think, I can do this.
Yeah.
But there is that moment when you're, your doors of, he's doing the reverse loop of us.
Yeah.
When your doors of perception open up.
Yes.
And we start kind of drawing conclusions about the greater questions of life.
Yes. Yeah. And that's a lot of the reason why people run, isn't it? And it's just...
Although I think that some people don't.
Right.
And I think some of the really fast runners, some of your distance contemporaries, time contemporaries.
Yeah.
People who can knock out a 245, 250.
Yeah.
Do you see that tiny dog doing hunt pose?
Yeah.
Oh, it's brilliant. Yeah. It was a little dog sniffing in some more brambles, and the one next to it just with one paw up going, yeah, in there.
Yeah.
Under there, something under there.
Yeah.
Oh, it's pointing.
Yeah.
So sweet. Yeah, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. I think sometimes the way you get, that's why it's interesting, your book being by you, is that everyone from people who might have done, I don't know, Jenson Button, maybe even Gavin, people doing sort of 245, 250 marathons, up to Kipchoge and Paula Radcliffe.
Yes, yeah.
I think often, and this connects to the ultramarathon runners as well, they get to a point where they're not philosophizing.
Yes.
They're damping, not deliberately damping down, but they're kind of transcending,
yes,
better, the voice.
Yeah.
They're not bothering running along thinking, what do I think about life?
But
which is why you're kind of cuspal in that sense.
Yes, I'm
you're enough of an athlete to really...
A fun runner and the athlete.
Yeah. So I don't think there's that many people who have that combination, that personality, let alone who are also writer comedians.
Yes. Yeah. Although I must say that when I'm racing, any thoughts I have are very... distant, you know, that is a good enjoyable thing about racing when you're fit, is that you are just concentrating on running as quickly as possible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a difference with that and what we're doing now, or if you weren't here, just kind of pontificating and lounging around.
And the reason, if I'm running on my own for hours, for minutes,
yeah,
I want to listen to music.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, the closest I can imagine that is like is that bit on the York before last when it felt like I took a nap.
Right, yeah. It's funny because there was a lot of the Heathsiders were there.
Yeah.
At the book launch, and you suddenly feel a little bit sensitive about talking about them in your book. You know,
yeah,
there's a guy
there,
Dom, who was like very, very close to it in 3 hours of the marathon.
Yeah.
He's a
I think in spite of yourself, you found the comparison between his mindset and yours.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
You know, and that's a story that needs to be told.
Yeah, but the fact is, he's faster than me at every other distance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he hasn't beaten three yet.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to have a word with him and say, it's not a big deal.
Just if you touch the ceiling here.
Yeah, this is nice.
You get very dirty hands.
Oh, my, what? This is it. We've found Storm Dennis.
Yeah, this
we've found the Dennis.
No, it's a bridge, Paul. It's not Storm
Dennis. Yeah. This is...
Holds back to get a picture.
Is this... Would you describe this as life-threatening?
Yeah, I think you're in grave danger.
Yeah.
Watch this, here we go. Straight through.
What? You're an absolute maniac.
I'm regretting this.
Absolutely.
It's so cold.
Absolutely.
So, no matter how wet you are, if you get your feet completely wet,
It is colder.
Yeah.
Doing went straight to you. Terrible decision. Different approaches to the same problem. Over. One definitely more stupid than the other.
One a bit more stupid. Almost done for comic effect.
By the way, Storm Dennis has taken the mickey out of you by presenting on the other side of the bridge.
Yeah.
You think there's no storm?
Yeah.
Blah!
Storm Dennis is asserting it's
all up in our chops.
Yeah, it's that thing with Dominic. It's just like, because he became a bit of a symbol of doubt, of a mindset or whatever, slightly. Yeah. But it also, he just might not have the physical body to do it. He's a real high-stepping, kind of tall, rangy, strided runner that totally suits 5 and 10 Ks, and I can't get anywhere near him.
Yeah, and that's...
But I can scuttle along past him at 24 miles of a marathon, do you know
what
I mean?
Yeah, and I think that hits on why it's... Two things. One, why it's great that you and you only did this book. And two, tapping into a wider thing about we're not really talking about a given pace.
Yes,
you're talking about what running shows you and what a marathon
shows you. Yes.
And because there are... The example of that here is there are people who are faster than you.
Yes.
You know, amazingly.
Yeah, of course, loads of loads.
Will... In that context, philosophically, they'll find less.
Yeah.
You know, if it's available to you to run a 2:45 marathon, you're not going to find out key truths about yourself running a 3-hour marathon.
No.
It's almost the most useful, that almost meaningless line of a time has ever been, you know. And from that point of view, that's why it's uncomfortable with Dominic, because he's battling with the concept in the same way.
Yeah. Dominic, he's done 3 hours and 26 seconds for the marathon.
That's right.
And he's getting older and he's still training really hard. And I'd love it if he could crack it.
Yeah.
While simultaneously saying to him, don't worry about it. To be fair, I think he's over it. I think he's fine. I just wanted to make sure, you know.
Yeah. Tony Audenshaw, aforementioned, another character from Our Lives and from your book.
Yeah.
That marathon where... Earlier marathon where you blew out and he also didn't get sub 3 and he got it with 6 seconds.
Yes.
And specifically because he got caught behind them moving the road crossing.
Oh, that's awful.
On Birdcage Walk.
That is awful, isn't it?
Morning.
Hey, mate. No, that always gets quite a frick moment, isn't it? When they start just right at the end there, they start to mess about with the cordons.
Yeah.
That's a tennis moment.
It is, and he went in and had to turn back and then missed 3 hours by 6 seconds.
Yeah.
And as you said at the time, when he told us this... Sooty.
All right.
I was trying to do sweep, but then, of course, A, it was a terrible impression of sweep, and B, sooty doesn't make any noise.
So I'm just working out where we're going now. We're going round and back.
We are now... Over the canal from where we were earlier in Stringfield Park.
Yeah.
Going south again.
Yeah.
And we're going to cross. And when you first said this is a bit we don't normally do.
Yes.
Across to there.
Yeah.
Through Millfield Park.
And then come back.
And Hackney Downs. And then we're back at my house.
Right.
So.
And then we do it again. Great.
We're heading towards the
Woo!
End. Yahoo!
Yeah, baby.
But, tell us about. JC, basically lovely fellow, and I've met him and had a chat.
Yes.
And then you said to me, you met JC, could he be any more French?
Yeah, he's a wonderful... I used to run a lot with JC.
By the way, we're not talking about Jesus being with us while we run.
No, Jean...
He's a real person.
Jean-Christophe, lovely French friend, lives in Crouch End. He was really into his running. Round about the time I was just getting into it back with you as well, I'd run with JC as well.
Yeah.
And he was very much one for the philosophy of running and the chatting about it. And he actually, I sort of quote him at the start of the book as when he talks about the start of the marathon being such a beautiful moment because for a second we're all facing in the same direction.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
You know, it's just really nice. And it came directly from him, and I know it.
And it's, you
it
know.
It would have meant something to him to have that at the start of the book.
Yeah.
And he's the kind of guy who will well up with tea as well, talk about how much he loves running. He's that guy. And as such, he's highly valued. And he turns up in a
would you describe it as a cowboy hat?
No, I wouldn't.
Right, some sort of hat.
A battered fedora.
A battered fedora.
His closest relative is, no, but that makes him sound like Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
The hat he wears, and this is indoors on a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Hat he wears, and I think that, I don't know whether he had a glass of red wine in his right hand.
Right.
Because it was a do, or because he was born with it.
Yeah.
But it certainly looked right.
Yes.
And then his hat is most akin to Snufkin's hat from the Moomins.
Yes, yeah.
It's a hat that's seen, you know, that you wouldn't really imagine. Did he used to run in it?
No, he didn't. But
vestigially he did.
Yeah, it's a shame that he can't run now. He got injured, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was really into his running.
Yeah.
The wine got mostly drunk at the launch. As we said, and I think it was it was a 14%er.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people were suggesting it was quite strong.
Yeah. It had to be good wine on principle.
Yes, the red wine was slightly better than the white.
Yeah.
Again, on principle.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, you go as close to that water as you like. He wants me to wade another one. Yeah. Did you hear me echo there? I really hope that came out.
So it was, I found it very emotional. And not without tension as an experience, but really enjoyable. And then I came home.
You went on to the pub, didn't you?
Went on to the pub.
Yeah.
My wife had a few drinks. We all got home.
Before you go on here, I just want to say one last thing about JC. He looks a bit like you.
Really?
He's a little bit like... He's very different to you.
Sort of blessed. But sort of genetically blessed.
Yeah, kind of magical. Kind of super special and incredibly handsome.
Yeah.
And he's not as tall as you.
Right.
But nevertheless, I had this weird sense when I was talking to him that he was an extension of you. That he was you doing a character. It's like in Hot Fuzz when Simon Pegg thinks that Bill Bailey's taking the mickey.
Right.
And it turns out he actually is twins.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like that.
Yeah.
It's like I can see them standing talking to each other. Yeah. The guy on the right is significantly shorter. And yet I'm sure they're both poor.
He'll love that.
So you went on.
We went on, and then I came home. Not massively drunk.
To try and find a flat for
Rudy. A little bit drunk. Yeah. And I drank a bottle and a half of red wine to myself.
After you got home?
Yes! I started watching Uncut Gems, the last half hour film I'd already seen. And then I started watching The Irishman.
Yeah.
I've already seen The Irishman.
Yeah,
it's just
become
one of those go-to, I'm really drunk movies.
Yeah, good.
And of course, the advantage of that is it lasts over 3 hours.
Yeah.
So you just get through a lot of wine.
That's
it's
right.
Really compromised.
Is that an advantage? Would you call that an advantage?
It is at that stage.
Yeah.
I just had to find some vehicle of letting all the pressure that I'd felt dissipate.
Yeah.
Gradually over time. And I found it, not for the first time, through booze.
Yeah, yeah.
So Thursday was awful. Friday I had my last couple of bits of publicity on 5 Live and Bob Mills show yesterday.
Yeah.
But by Saturday I was fine, but it was a definite 2-day hangover.
Yeah. Well, I think it's only appropriate. It's hard.
Kind of.
It's hard not to read the book and think, yeah, that seems right.
Yeah. Yeah, just letting it.
Just a little side thing. It's interesting what you said about The Irishman. And as film watchers, there is a wonder to, when you're drunk or indeed hungover, to the freedom it gives you to watch films you've already seen.
Yes.
You know, it's suddenly, because I lean quite badly into comfort films anyway.
Yes, yeah, yeah, I do that, yeah.
But when you've really,
when
you know, that's all you've got.
Yeah.
I remember being on a train once and I was in a terrible state, really awful. I'd already done the first class upgrade.
Right.
And I was certainly ruining it for all the people I was with.
Yeah.
Just being in first class and making them think, who let that guy into first class?
Yeah. It's always good.
Man. And I just suddenly realised that I could just watch The Bourne Identity again. And it was, I nearly cried.
Yeah, yeah, it's fantastic, isn't
it? I can just watch it again. I'm going to enjoy it as much as I ever have.
Yeah.
Because that's all that's left of me.
Yeah. It's like checking in with an old mate, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've had a few drinks. I know these guys. I know the film. I know the bits I like. I'm just going to enjoy it.
Now we're on to the only little bit of this figure of eight.
Yeah.
That repeats.
Right.
I think it's quite nice.
Yeah, it is quite nice, yeah.
Quite clever. And the weather the weather
has got worse. It's just
incessantly miserable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cold, isn't it?
There's no hurricane blast there.
No, we're fine. We're fine. We're not in any imminent danger.
No. And it's good training. I thought this morning, and I went to the cupboard.
Yeah.
Because this is really mundane, but I went to the cupboard yesterday. I thought, I'm going to wash all my running clothes.
Right.
I thought, I've really messed up because you can't wash your running clothes at the weekend because there are two teenagers at school and two other grown-ups in the house. The weekend...
It's huge, isn't it?
You need to do 9 washes just to keep up.
Yeah.
So I can't do... And now I'm going to wash
it's
my shorts.
No.
So I didn't... I thought, that's okay. I've got a set of running clothes.
You're wearing your grubby.
In the bottom of the wardrobe. And I went to get them.
Yeah.
And guess what?
What's that?
2 of those items were bamboo.
Oh,
you can't wear bamboo in the rain.
No.
It gets so wet and so heavy.
Right.
You might as well say, yeah, I'm going to run dressed up as a Wookiee. Can't do it. So,
what happens
I had to go, throw them back in the cupboard and pull out. Oh, these clothes are fine. They're
right.
They're my shorts with the built-in Lycra shorts.
Nice.
And the zip on the pocket is broken.
Right.
And they pull down a little bit. That's the advantage of bamboo. Is the stretch gives a bit more. With my non-existent bum and fairly thunderous thighs. Say thunderous, they're not big, they're just sort of strong.
Power.
Anything that's snug.
Yeah.
It just gets pulled down. Pulls itself down over time. So it can lead to gusset issues.
It's obviously a conundrum in the rain whether to... Because you're going to get wet. It's rare to find stuff that's good, that keeps you dry underneath, isn't it? Or is it?
Yeah,
I don't think it exists.
I don't think it exists. Because you just, if it really keeps the rain off, then you get condensation.
Yeah.
It's always going to be a different temperature.
Yeah.
Even if you're walking, let alone if you're running.
Yeah.
So you basically stop the water from outside coming in, but make your own clean, fresh water inside.
So we just accept.
So what's the difference?
Yeah. We accept we're going to get wet.
Exactly. So... But then I had another thought, which was less mundane at that point, because my knowledge of running in the bamboo is based on that run in Aberystwyth.
Right.
And, you know, when you train, you're training for the training. You know, every run makes the subsequent runs easier.
Yeah.
I know I didn't go as hard in Aberystwyth, but it was up and down and up and down. It was dangerous. And I was on my own.
Yeah.
So the idea of running in London with you, even in weather as
it's
bad as that,
yes,
which,
yeah,
by the way, this isn't, it didn't...
It's not so bad, is it?
It's not going to be...
No.
I was in Aberystwyth.
Yeah.
I can handle this.
No, we're doing all right.
Yeah.
We're doing 2 loops this morning.
That's it. We keep saying that.
Yeah. This is a double loop.
This is it. This is the first of two.
First of a two-loop extravaganza.
But I think... And this is in your book. I think you can, and it's really 2 different ways of looking at exactly the same thing. You often talk about chunking things down, you know?
Yes, yeah.
You break things down into their constituent
Small
parts.
Elements, yes.
To make them easier to handle. It's basically like chopping a little kid's sausage into 5 bits.
Yes.
You show them a sausage, they're like, oh, I can't eat it.
Yeah, well, you can eat this bit.
And then eat that bit, and the whole sausage is gone. Chunking it down. And I think at an advanced level, which again you very much cover in the book and is to do with the central governor,
yes,
is if you can kind of create an external cut in your idea of what the job at hand is,
yeah,
it makes it easier.
I think it makes it easier.
I've talked before about going up Helvellyn. That was the longest walk we did that holiday.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel that way because it had a journey to and from the start of the mountain ascent.
Yes, yeah.
And that's like this. I think if we stop at my house, finish this episode,
have a lie down
for 3 hours, watch the rest of The Irishman,
drink
a bottle of wine,
go home and then see
you
tomorrow.
Then the day after tomorrow, we run the rest of the 20. It's perfect.
Yes, that's the way to do it.
Hey,
no, it's not.
Best daff so far on your right.
Yeah, daff, a formation of daffodils.
Yeah. Really good.
Beautiful. Like,
he's getting that one.
Sort of weird Nike tick of daffodils.
Yeah, it's like a chevron, if you will.
Yes.
He's loving it. He's loving it, loving it, loving it.
Yeah, so it's...
I did my last radio interview
with Bob Mills
yesterday. The mighty Bob Mills.
Yes. Which was very enjoyable.
Yeah.
And I've got a couple of little things, but I'm quite pleased it's over.
Yeah.
I find it quite draining. Well, so I caught myself. I love interacting with people online who've read it. I absolutely love that.
Yeah.
Positive feedback, that's great. But just coming onto a radio show to talk about myself.
And to, yeah, to A, dig in and B, sell it.
Yeah. With people who, somewhat like Chris Evans was fantastic. He's a runner, he's read it.
Yeah.
But some of them aren't and haven't.
Yes.
Which again is no biggie, it's fine. I don't expect anyone to read the book. But it's just, it just feels a bit not pointless, just draining. That's all I'll say.
It's all on you.
Yeah, it's just
to sum it up in that moment.
Yeah.
From a standing start.
Yeah, I like chatting to people about running and books and stuff, but I won't want to do too much of it.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I'm having a bit of...
Go for
it. I decided to blow my nose.
You got a bit of a...
Now I've got to wipe the mucus off the balloon that's over the microphone.
The detritus.
Yeah.
Dennis. Everywhere making his presence felt.
A bin.
Upturned dustbins.
It reminds me of Scotland's famous hurricane ball bag from a couple of years ago.
I don't remember. Hurricane ball bag.
B-A-W. Hurricane ball bag. Coming in across the Forth Bridge. They built the new Forth Road crossing and they said it will never be closed by the weather.
Yeah.
And then they closed it this week.
Right, did they really? Yeah, they've closed. Again, a lot of plane journeys not happening, a lot of travel disruption.
Yeah. I didn't go to Southend yesterday.
It's been a. It's been tricky. Four people doing a spring marathon, hasn't it? These last 2 weekends.
Because
they've been big weekends. You've had two, you know, proper storms, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right. Kira.
Yeah.
And Dennis.
Dennis, yeah.
Kira and Dennis over. Do you think?
I can get away with it.
I quite like Dennis. I wrote a song, which is about how this thing of naming storms.
Yeah.
Is very American.
Right.
And I think the British news media adopted it because they thought, oh yeah, that's what you do.
Yeah.
But British people are just much more, oh, sod off about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think that
Dennis,
calling the storm Dennis and having yellow snow warnings,
yeah,
I almost feel like the meteorologists and the news have caught on to
our disdain.
Kind of underlying disdain. That's right.
Yeah, it's like a passive aggressive naming of storms.
Yeah, and so that when you do joke about it, when we say, oh, Dennis,
yeah,
they've set us up, they've facilitated that and expected it.
It's like an episode of some weird sitcom, Harold and Mildred or whatever it is.
George
and Mildred, yes.
You're mixing up George and Mildred and Harold and Maud.
Yeah.
Two very different things.
Very different experiences. But I do remember George and Mildred.
It's about time they mashed those up.
Yeah.
God, George and Mildred was depressing.
What was it again? I can remember the visual.
It's a
spin-off. I can remember how they both looked.
It's a spin-off from Man About the House.
Right.
So the whole thing, when you look at it now, even though it's quite kind of 60s, 70s, 80s,
yeah,
tapping into the primness, the British rejection of the change in societal ideals
right,
in the 60s.
Conservative.
So Man About the House, the setup was this bloke lived with two women.
Right.
That's the setup.
Yes, I remember.
They were flatmates.
Yeah.
That's not a setup, is it? I mean, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. that's just living.
Yeah.
And but it's a scenario to explore then, yeah.
George and Mildred were their landlady and landlord.
Right.
And specifically George. Was simultaneously the more disapproving.
Yes, they were very
trying to catch them out, but also slightly pervy.
Right.
Uncomfortable with women.
Yes.
At every level.
Yes.
And then
yeah,
Mildred
was
just a little bit cool about it, George. Don't be silly, George. Let them off, you know.
Yes, yeah, 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 yeah.
Youth of Joyce.
It was,
they were depressing enough in that show.
It was very successful, though, wasn't it?
Oh, huge.
It did run for a long time. It probably influenced the nation in quite a big way, actually.
George and Mildred.
And it went off into something else.
Yeah, George and Mildred on their own. I can't remember what the setup was, but the two characters were
so hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
They got adventures.
They deserve their own sitcom.
All their own.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, I believe it's the same character, Robin, the
Bird's Nest, Cuckoo's Nest.
Robin's Nest. Which is
Over the Robin's Nest.
Richard O'Sullivan from Man About the House opened a little restaurant called Robin's Nest.
Yes, of course, yeah. We remember that.
And then you get into
the dissolute
the guy
Robin's Nest,
who had a great latter-day film career. What was his name? Irish actor. Always played the comedy old Irishman there. He was in. He used to work in the kitchen in Robin's Nest. Around the same time he was the builder,
right.
The dodgy builder, Mr. O'Reilly.
Okay.
In the most fantastic episode of 40 Towers.
Right, I can't remember that film.
Oh,
I would remember him. Sorry.
And then, yeah, that's good. If anyone, listeners, want to get in touch, tell us what the adventures that took place in George and Mildred were, and what the name of the Irish character actor who played the chef in Robin's Nest was, you'd be amazed how interested I'd be.
But George and Mildred was a time when millions would watch that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was a kid and I watched it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's Sunday morning, we're going past a big church, and I hear song within.
I hear Baptist church, yeah. They like a good singer, the old Baptists.
Yeah.
Bless them. And then there'll be at least a 40-minute sermon.
Yeah.
At least, if not 45, 50 minutes.
We're on the corner of Hackney Downs.
Yeah.
And
Baptist Church is the Edinburgh Festival of Sermons. Catholic, they'll give you 12-15 minutes maximum.
Yeah.
But the Baptists like to
open it up.
Yeah, like to open it up.
Yeah.
Nice to hear it. And we're going through
this Hackney Downs.
Right.
This is key because I think that we should admit that we're looking to, that if we don't do exactly 20, we'd be looking to do less rather than more today. Because at this point, we could do a loop of Hackney Downs. Although, it isn't really a loop because I kind of draw the back of an envelope on.
Okay.
You go across it and then along it and then across it.
Well, I was looking to do two nines.
Yeah, so we're going straight through Hackney Downs.
Okay, that's good.
And that's good.
Only because the pace we run, if we did 20, we'd be running for about...
You won't be able to do your sermon afterwards.
Well, no, we'd be running for about 3 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is just a bit too long at the moment, because I like to run, when I do my long Sunday runs, as much for time as for distance.
Of course.
And if we run for 3 hours, that's a lot of running.
Yeah, I think we're going to.
Yeah. Oh, no, we will do.
Oh, we're going
to. But it's a lot of... that's a lot of time to run.
So, good decision. Straight through Hackney Downs. And amazingly, though... find myself needing a wee.
There's one there, isn't there?
Yeah, but that will be at my house soon.
Okay, fair enough. This is the stage of the run where I don't actually feel too bad.
I think people who are reading your book would be amazed at how often you go to the toilet when we're running.
Because
is that something you trained for?
Well, today I've had an experience.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been too bad.
Yeah.
On the whole.
When you say on the whole, that was you mean in the wider picture, not actually on the whole.
Yeah.
You're pretty.
This is pretty. Nice.
Says Purdy on the side of that building site, by the way, in case you wonder what I'm talking about.
But no, this is a bit of a almost a sweet spot, isn't it? Sort of 8-9 miles.
Yeah.
You've obviously run a long time, but you feel okay.
Yes.
You can run for a while longer.
Yes.
And then it's just...
This is about
feels a lot different at 15, doesn't it?
It does.
In my experience.
This is similar to the moment last week, and actually it's quite good. Comes in again with that tricking yourself, because last week I'm thinking, 9 miles, that's when we were done running, and I thought, I'll run on home.
Right.
And I'll just detour slightly to get the mileage in, you know.
Yeah.
But of course, at that point,
you'd already
I'd actually done about 11, 12.
Yes, yeah,
but
absolutely.
But to think of it now, I had genuinely forgotten that.
Right.
And it felt exactly the same as this.
Yeah.
So I tricked myself into
about
3 miles worth of
that's a good idea,
seeing it through, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going
to do. I did 14 and a half the other week in appalling conditions.
Yes.
And loads of sludging through mud and fields and stuff. So I'm fairly confident I should be okay.
And then at this point, any future event we do in good weather, I'm thinking now particularly of the Limassol Half.
Yeah.
Which are going to be so wonderful.
Yes.
But, you know,
That will
is,
be nice.
Sits on top of this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nightmare shrine.
Oh, way up.
There we go.
Oh, what?
No one's even put a pallet down. Selfish, I got it.
Oh, God. That's
straight through.
That's what he does. That's what I don't do that.
You did it again. Straight once, you've done
straight
it once.
Through.
The cafe there used to be called the Russet, is now called Down Market.
All right.
I have this thing where I think no matter how ironic you're being, I don't think you should introduce
no
negativity into your name or
yes,
title.
Yes, yeah, I agree.
Comedian Carl Donnelly has got an Edinburgh show, did it last year, but he's doing it again, I think, in Australia in the coming weeks.
Right.
And it's called Why Don't We All Just Kill Ourselves?
Yeah, don't like it.
He's joking.
Don't like the title.
But yeah, it's not, I'm not confident
no,
in that.
No.
In any way.
That, but then that sort of surprises me from such a gentle character.
Yeah.
He's obviously not meaning it. It's a joke.
Yeah.
It's a joke, Rob.
Exactly,
but
the joking
even bring
doesn't
it in?
Start until you're there. It's just so...
Yeah.
It's not... And it seems...
Why put that thought into the world?
Yeah, in any context.
Yeah, I agree. I'm
exactly.
Like that.
And that's an extreme example. Some people... You know, if someone said I've done an end show, it's called Idiot.
Yeah.
You know, I get that. I'd be tempted to call my show Idiot.
Yes, yeah,
but
yeah.
But I still wouldn't do it. Because... You just want to subconsciously encourage joy.
Yeah, although I don't mind that so much because...
It's not as bad.
No, because Dostoevsky wrote that novel, The Idiot.
Yeah, but he wasn't playing for laughs, was he?
Well, it's quite emblematic of... I quite like idiocy. But, you know,
are you talking about, and then you get into that sense of the wisdom of the idiot, you know?
Yes, yeah.
Lear's jester type.
Yes,
scenario.
Yeah.
You
but
know
maybe,
why?
Maybe not for a comedy show.
Why are you, Paul Tonkinson, comfortable with that trope?
Of what? The wisdom of the fool. The holy fool.
I don't know. I mean, me, I don't know. It's like Dostoevsky, isn't
it? Yeah.
I see you.
But no, the... Donnelly's a very funny guy. That's surprising.
He's excellent, yeah. And I think, you know, also...
Well, ironically enough, he's quite a good idiot, isn't he?
Yeah, and maybe to a certain extent, he knows what he's doing, and he's trying to test his potential audience. Get the people who get that to come to the show, you know?
Well, we had this... Something happened at the gig last night, outside. There was the... Bobby Mayer was on before me.
Yeah.
99 Club. There was a woman on the mobile on her phone on the front row.
Yeah.
And it was being quite nice with her. We've talked about this before. I think it's a generational thing. People don't see a problem with that.
Yes.
But comics think it's a bit... It's just a bit disrespectful. But
he's
being very kind about it. Saying, why are you on the phone? You know.
He's Canadian.
She said, I'm texting my kids. And he's like, oh, that's fine. You know, I'm sure they'll be okay. I'm sure they'll be okay.
Yeah.
And then some guy in the crowd said, oh, yeah, I'm sure you brought them up right. Which was a callback to a joke that had been made.
Yeah, yeah.
And the woman just burst into tears.
Oh.
And just had to leave. And that's just... That's unfortunate, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you can't blame Bobby Mayer for that.
You can't blame anyone for that.
He was... He was being very respectful and empathetic, and
yep.
But he's obviously just brought up a stuff. It made you realise,
yeah,
the vulnerability of people.
Yeah, that's right.
And how emotionally wrought sometimes the climate is without you even realising.
Yeah, and also a wider thing is particularly dependent on circumstance, where you're sitting, what the room's like, how scared. Audiences can be early on in a comedy gig.
Yeah.
Because, and they weren't expecting that either.
Yes.
They just thought we'd go to a show, it'd be fun. But comedy is really live and real.
Yes.
Lots of people aren't expecting or wanting to be talked to.
No.
That's why one is always uncomfortable with the much safer audience member, the person who seems really game, but then gets, yeah, we can do this, yeah. Gets picked on.
Right.
You know, you always say, no one's going to get picked on, don't worry about it. But every now and again, one person down the front
becomes the kind of stooge.
The go-to.
For the whole night.
Yeah.
I always think that person should get a refund.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Unless... unless they wanted to.
Unless they started it.
Because sometimes people do, don't they?
Yeah, that's right. But ultimately, I think that's less likely to happen.
Yeah.
Because comedians see through that.
Yes.
And don't give people
and they don't want to do it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it ties in with that person who wants it will often try too hard and bring their own jokes and stuff.
I'll also say...
whereas the perfect stooge is just a foil. It's just an Ernie Wise character.
I'll also say there might be another lesson as well as... try not to go on your phone when you're on the... when you're watching stand-up, unless it's absolutely necessary.
Yeah, why would you?
When you're at the front row, just leave a message. At the most, it's 20 minutes.
Yeah, well, I know.
On stage, you know.
I know how I feel about this. And one, it's that as comedians, we have to understand that the younger generation will be taken by surprise.
Yes.
If you say to them, get off your phone.
Yes, they are.
But
yeah.
On the other side, just as a person, I think you should do anything you're doing properly.
Yes.
You know, and commit to it.
Yeah.
I don't like seeing people getting onto a bus and interacting with the driver. Not that people really do that in London anymore. With their headphones on.
Yes.
You know, it's just...
either be here or don't be.
Be here or don't be.
Yeah.
And anyone who knows that I run listening to music will say, wait a minute.
Yes.
But for me, that is doing that properly. So, bad luck.
I wonder whether you reach a scenario where comics go on stage whilst on their mobile. Do you think that's the way forward?
I don't know, but you will see some comics who use their mobile as a watch.
Yes.
And don't make it clear that they're doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
We'll basically look.
Yes.
Look like they're checking how well their tweet has gone.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
During
yeah, yeah.
their 20-minute set.
Yeah.
Which again, I would
discourage.
Weird, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I can remember it's a long time ago now that I said to a student girl right down the front. Oh, you're on your phone this way. And she was so shocked that I'd called her out on it. And that was years ago. So
that
her generation are 30 now. And it's a different scene.
Yeah. They're absolutely amazed that you've got the gall to do it. And if you take the phone off them, they'll press charges.
Yeah, and if you put it in your bottom, you'll have to buy a new one.
If you smash it with a hammer, there's a problem.
And equally, you know, when a compere says, so turn your phone off, I'm like, no, the audience are all under 65.
Yeah.
So they're not going to be turning their phone off. The only people who turn their phones off are people a generation older than us.
Yeah.
You turn it off and put it in a drawer, forget about it for a week at a time.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't turn my phone off.
No.
But I don't take it on stage.
No,
I don't. Which is what led to that amazing moment, which I won't dig into, when I was at a fairly challenging gig in Luton and just went and put my phone on charge.
Right.
And had a WhatsApp message that made me question my very existence.
Right.
So, oh my God, what's happening? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Rob Deering.
Yeah.
That's another good reason not to look at your phone during a comedy gig. It might slightly take you out of the joy zone.
Yeah.
Like you.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like your crying woman. But the other thing that people will do when they're on stage is take audience members at their word.
Yes.
And the other day, a guy said, what do you do for a living to this woman? Well, basically, I think the whole... we just made a very minor decision near my house. I want to go this way because then we only go on the same route for a few paces.
Okay,
so we're coming to the end of episode one.
Yes.
Just the end of my story was the audience members lying about their jobs. What are you? I'm a cartoonist. What do you do? I'm a sex worker.
Yeah.
This audience have learned to lie about their jobs.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the comedian is not seeing through this.
Yeah, yeah, just relax. Just go with it. What do you think of the chances are that everyone's got an amazingly interesting job revolving around the sex trade?
Bewilderment ensued.
Yes.
So,
end of the first loop.
How do you feel?
Lovely to see you. Feeling great.
Dennis is building, but not doing it.
Dennis building. No real harm.
I looked at the app.
We'll check the kit.
We did do over 10 miles. Okay, sorry, Paul. All right, sorry.
Well, that's good because it means the next one can be shorter.
Can it there? Can it?
Well, it has to be, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be.
No, that's great. That's
all right. We'll see you next week.
See you next week. No refunds. No refunds.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Dennis.
1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.